Hey, Colossal Crew, how we doing? Before we start our visual interview with Koontz, please make sure you check out his music and follow his socials. Those will, of course, be available in the description for you. And just a little background on Koontz. He's a DMV rapper and songwriter out of PG County, Maryland, who refers to himself as a lyrical Basquiat. Versatile in both his bars and his sound, Koontz gave us the honor of letting us ask him a few questions about his life and his art, and we can't wait to share that with you today. Please make sure to check out his latest single, Talk to Me, available on all streaming platforms right now. And, as always, make sure to check us out on our socials, available in the description as well. That way you can find out a bit more about what we do here at Colossal Music Group. Now, without further ado, let's get into the video.
Yo, bro, what up?
What's up with you, man?
Hey, how's it going, man?
I'm good. I got endless sun on my face, god dang.
Well, how you doing, bro? I mean, yeah, welcome to the Colossal interview, man. We're psyched to have you, bro.
I'm happy to be here. I was watching the Pat Brady interview the other day. I was like, oh yeah, they real cool. My bad, I'm driving too. Like, I'm over here on the road and whatnot.
Hey, it's all cool. It's all cool, man. We're happy to have you here, bro. Yeah.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, so what's the past, you know, year been like for you? You put out some good music, man. I mean, you saw my praise for Sweet Potato Pie in our email, man. You know, both Alex and I love that track.
I appreciate that. This past year just been a year of growth. I've been I don't want to say studying, but just trying to hone in my craft, not trying to force everything. Before, I used to try to, like, release things instantly, but, you know, now I want to get things right, you know. I want it to sound a certain way. I want to bring myself always, though, so.
Yeah, yeah. So, how does, like, what has that process been like for you? Like, are there certain things you've done in the past year that have sort of helped you hone in on that creative process and sort of keeping that focus?
I honestly started taking music more serious, so actually, like, buying a calendar, planning things, setting goals for certain songs, you know, to get things done in a timely, you know, fashion. So, I mean, and creatively, just living life, you know, with COVID, it's given a lot of inspiration, a lot of time to think, which I felt like I didn't have before, so.
Yeah.
You know, every single artist that we've talked to has been like, yo, COVID has actually been a blessing for me. Like, it's really forced me to focus on my craft, on my process, and like really hone in on, you know, those parts of my music that I really want to show and really want to portray.
Yeah, I heavily agree. Like, COVID, like I said, well, as far as time, it just made you reevaluate how you spent your time before. You don't have that access, you know, activities you could do outside. So you think about, but what do I do when I'm alone? So it just started to spark a lot of things. Like, I feel like a lot of people started doing things they used to when they grew up. You know, I seen a lot of people get back in gaming and things like that. So it was a blessing in disguise.
How did COVID, so especially during the lockdown period where, you know, everyone was indoors, how did that impact, you know, your songwriting process, but also your recording process, the way you made your music? Were you making music from home before that anyway, or did that change the whole game for you?
I was already making music from home, so it didn't impact it that much. But as far as, you know, creatively, initially, I didn't have anything because I really felt like I couldn't think. The whole world wasn't normal anymore. It was like trying to reinvent myself.
Yeah. But,
I started reading a little bit. I read, I can't even think of the author's name, but it's a book called The Artist's Way. And it talks about taking yourself on a date. So I just used to go for walks a lot, like during quarantine. That's why I can't wait till it heat up again. I'm going to go right back for my walks.
Well, we also saw that you dropped your video for What You Talking 6 days ago. Congrats on that, man. Yeah,
thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. So what was the creative idea behind that video? Was that all you? Did you get a videographer for that? That sort of gave you ideas?
No, it wasn't all me. I got a videographer, Lost Film Studios. They work with DreamWorks. I actually, it's spelled DRMWX. I believe that's how you spell it. But you can visit their website, dreamworks.com. But I shot it with them. I had a set designer named Jais. She helped me with the wardrobe as well. And the model, her name Destiny, she used to rap. I think she might start rapping again. She's really tough. But her rap name, okay, she go by Ransom. And yeah, the idea was a quarantine picnic, honestly, you know, very intimate, not doing too much.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just chilling, trying to make the best of what we have. So I'm happy people enjoyed it. I got a lot of good feedback from it. So I'm happy we all were able to bring the vision to life.
That's what matters. Absolutely. That's what matters. Yeah. It's good to hear. Deserved. Yeah. Deserved.
Thank you.
But since your Lavender Lane project, which dropped 2 years ago, if I'm right at this point, you dropped a few singles, Silly Watch, What You Talking, Sweet Potato Pie, and they all vary pretty heavily in their styles. What made you decide to switch it up between those tracks? What was the inspiration behind that?
Just different moves during the week. I know nowadays, you know, I feel like our styles are more combined. Like a lot of people rap, but also sing, you know, auto-tune help a lot. Because it adds a different creative element, you know.
Yeah.
You know how they always say your voice is an instrument, so it just allows it to be an instrument, honestly. So some songs I just want to be more melodic. Sometimes I just feel like talking and rapping, you know. So whenever I go to the studio, whenever I decide to record, it's just like, well, what am I feeling? That's what I'm going to present the best. So.
Yeah. I mean, that really impressed me on some of your tracks, like Sweet Potato Pie, for example, your wordplay really stands out. Sean and I were talking about it before the interview. You know, your wordplay really stands out, but when you shift your energy and your creative process towards a more singing track, you don't lose that songwriting process, it seems. You keep those bars even when you're singing, which I think is really impressive.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. I try to say, you know, no matter how I present myself, I'm going to try to say something. Like, words mean something. So I got to still rap at the end of my day, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, we need more of that music today, man.
Appreciate that, meaningful. You know?
Yeah. Sweet Potato Pie, man. I've been listening to that for a minute now, man. Your wordplay in that, the lyricism, you saw the my favorite part of it, the quote that I sent to you with email, man. That's such a hard line.
Man, it was such a truthful line. Like, shit happened, 2020 ain't no different. My granny lost some memories of me, then she died. How's that for a social distance?
How's 6 feet deep, ain't no social
business. When I first said it, I felt it, and I knew. I was like, yeah, this is one of the ones.
Yeah.
But it's crazy how I even got to that point, because if I think about, you know, my grandmother's passing, I would have never thought I could say something like that. You know, and being 7 years removed right now, I think she passed in 2013, well, eight, going on eight. I just feel like I've grown from that, you know. I'm sad about it, but I see how I grew from it and became a better version of me that I probably wouldn't have access to, you know, had things went different. So I know life really is a lot of looking at things 2020. So not even 2020 last year, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Were you and your grandma pretty close?
Yeah, we were close. We talked often. I spent a lot of summers with her growing up. So, you know, like on Lavender Lane and Glass Ceilings, I kind of, you know, portray the fact that it's just like, you know, someone that you feel connected to, and for her to pass, you know, with her dementia, and for her to feel like she forgot me. I understand it was a disease, but she knew certain people. So I just felt like that connection wasn't as strong. And at that time in my life, it just affected me a lot. Like I fucked up a lot of my relationships and friendships just because I was trying to matter in people's world. Like, it's a whole lot. I really feel like I've grown a lot. Like, I'm over here giving it up like it's therapy and shit.
Yeah.
But nah.
That's what this feels like, man. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy, though.
You spoke on Glass Ceilings. another one of my favorite lines of yours was, my hardest lesson was me forgiving myself. And, you know, that's something that I feel like, you know, a lot of us go through of, you know, we're stuck on, you know, this thing from the past of like, oh, damn, man, I just can't get over that. I can't forgive myself for what I've done. But, you know, once you finally achieve that, you know, that feeling of forgiving yourself and being like, yo, I mean, life happens, man. Like, you just got to keep growing from it. You're getting better. And yeah, I love that line, man.
I appreciate that. Like you said, we do just got to. You know, life happens, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't look at things. Yeah. It's just crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. I feel you.
When did you start feeling that music was a way for you to kind of express that? Did you start, how young were you when you started writing music?
It was funny. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. So growing up, like, yeah, I told you I had an interview with Pap. I liked his little sister. Like, we was around the same age. I know that sounds wild now, but, you know, I was young too. Like, I was probably like the second, third grade. I don't remember. But, like, so I liked her, and I made a freestyle rap song dissing him. And I think that was the first rap I ever wrote was a diss. And it's crazy because I love battle rap to this day. So,
oh my God,
it was always in me. So yeah, that's the first time I actually started writing. And then as I grew, I didn't do it too much. I started rapping again in middle school. My man's D, and you know, we just kept it consistent. We was a group, Too Official. We got some stuff on YouTube, but yeah, it just stayed there. And then around after college, I took it more serious. I started to be like, all right, I think I could rap. My music got better. My lyrics got better. And now here we are now. This has been a long process. It's been 10 years, honestly. Like, if I just summarize when I said, okay, I'm going to take it serious, like, time flies.
Yeah, man. No, for real. And you were talking about you and Pap, I mean, you guys go way back, it seems. And you guys have worked together before. We were listening to your track together, Black Widow, from his project, Rowdy. What was working together like, for not only for that track, but in general? You guys obviously seem to have, outside of that track, worked together a lot. You spent a lot of time together. What's that like?
Me and Pap, we cool. Working with him, he really be working. So like, he'll have like 3-4 tracks just like, all right, you could get on this. Like, he don't really care. It's easy to work with him. So like, we never linked in the actual studio that time we worked on that track. Well, we just always be in two different areas. Cause even back in the day, like Facebook days, me and him did a track. And you know, he was at his studio at his friend's house, I was at my friend's house. So, but it's always just sending tracks, but it's always love. Like, Pop will send you a track with the quickness. Like, he don't care. His tracks be cranking. Like, he tough.
Yeah.
He tough. Like, he got this one we paid freestyle. I want him to drop that so bad. Like, I hope I don't ruin this shit. But, like, my bad, bro, if I did, but that shit hard. Like, it be getting played in my notes. Like, I probably played it at least 30 to 40 times. Like, I fucked that song so crazy, yeah.
Yeah, when we were getting in contact with him for the interview, he sent us at least 3 unreleased songs of his. And he was like, yo, check this unreleased shit out, man. Like, y'all are going to love it. We're just like, bro, we didn't even ask for this. Like, going to a different area here. I saw in your Spotify bio that you call yourself a lyrical Basquiat.
Yeah.
And I noticed some similarities as well with the Silly Watch cover. It kind of looks a lot like, you know, some of Basquiat's old art. So I was wondering sort of what the connection between you and Basquiat is.
Me, it's just I like Basquiat, and I feel like when it came to his artwork, he wasn't appreciated till after he passed, you know. People realized how to take in his artwork. And sometimes I think that's how I am with lyrics. Like, I say certain things. Like I care about my words, but I know certain words is just like, this song might not fit it, but if you really listen, like, I'm always, like, if I went through my lyrics like a rap genius, I could probably be like, bro, every line is pretty much a bar somehow, but I think it's abstract. It's like, if you want to hear that, you'll hear that. Some people will just hear it and be like, oh, you sound good. I like the flow. Some people will analyze different stuff. So I think my art is layered, just like how Basquiat's was layered. Like, he drew so many things in one. But if you looked at it as a whole, it's just like, this is beautiful. Like, the way you think is amazing. So, yeah. Lyrical Basquiat, damn. Abstract the art. Yeah.
That's a really cool connection, man. I really fuck with that.
Thanks.
Because I noticed.
And I don't know if you ever watched this documentary on YouTube. You should watch that.
No, I haven't.
About Basquiat, yeah.
I can't think of the title off top. I'm going to be bad with it, but.
Hey, all good. No, I'll check that out later.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I wasn't that hip to Basquiat until
recently. I mean, you know about, like, Warhol and stuff?
Yeah. Similar to that, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah.
Basquiat, if I remember correctly, I mean, he died real young, right? He was he was like late 20s when he passed, I believe.
Yeah, he passed at 27. I think they said he overdosed. The last half of his life, like, you just, I'm not gonna ruin the documentary, but yeah, just yeah. He passed at 27.
Yeah. And
I'm excited,
you know,
to watch.
He's been an inspiration to so many. I feel like our generation also growing up, because, you know, as you said, he wasn't appreciated until later. And really, it means that, you know, our generation, people our age, are the ones who really have appreciated him, I feel like.
Sure.
And so I feel like that connection you make, it's a beautiful connection, really. As Sean was saying, you know, it's something that's real layered, as you were saying as well, and really deep. So really, really cool stuff, man. Really dope.
Appreciate that. I feel like with COVID too, we going through this a modern day renaissance. Like, the arts are back. Like, everybody became content creators in their own right. But you see that if given that time, like I'm saying, people will come up with some dope shit. Like, people got a lot of dope ideas that we just don't do because we so stuck in the cycles of life. Like,
it's
crazy.
Yeah,
that's absolutely how this whole thing came about, man. Like, Colossal happened over quarantine, and we were like, yo, we're so passionate about this stuff. Like, might as well, we got the time. Like, let's turn this into something tangible. And like, let's get these stories from artists like you. Like, I would have never known, you know, the whole story behind your art and the comparison to Basquiat unless, you know, I actually got the chance to talk with you and like get to know your music more. So yeah, man, this is, you know, our idea coming to fruition. So this is sick.
Yeah.
This is sick.
Life ain't hard. All you got to do is try. Leave.
Amen.
I got that from that book, too, that I was talking about, The Artist's Way. I should, hold on, let me Google the author, because I don't want to keep saying her. And I don't know her name. Yeah.
Is it Julia Cameron? Yeah.
So it's honestly a book, too. J. Cole talked about it in an interview before, but... In the introduction, she talks about a leap and a net will appear. So, you know, life ain't hard. All you got to do is try. Things that happen once you try.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. You got to put yourself out there. Take risks. Get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. That's what you got to do.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We can... you know, just to wrap it up here, we'll hit you with a few quick hitters. You know, these are ones that we dish out to all the people we interview, you know, sort of classic questions that you'd like to ask the artists that you're listening to. So first off, who are you listening to right now? Like, who are the three people on repeat on your playlist?
Right now, I've been listening to Go-Go. Like, the new impressions dropped this project, The Gift. I think it was on Christmas, something around that time. I've been listening to that a lot.
Okay.
Like, a lot.
Nice.
I'm trying to think, because I listened to that Freddie Gibbs, The Gang Signs, with him and Schoolboy. That J Drop, I listened to that a lot.
Yep.
And I know this is going to be random, but like Biking by Frank Ocean, it's the solo version, not the one with Jay-Z and Tyler, the Creator. I've been listening to that song a lot. I don't know why, but That song go crazy.
Frank Ocean had different, man.
Yeah, he's different level of artist. He's, yeah.
You got any musical influences? Any artists that you look up to that you, you know, base your music off of?
Yeah, I got five technically, I think. Because early on, my sister used to listen to a lot of Jay-Z. So I heard Jay-Z a lot, but I couldn't understand it at the time. But that, like, affected me. And then I went from Jay-Z to, I had a T.I. phase. I know T.I. going crazy in the news right now. But when I was young, Urban Legend, that was my shit. I got in trouble listening to Urban Legend. My father had, like, the second job. And I had, this is back when you had CD players. And I had a CD in there, but they always thought I was listening to the radio going with them. It was like, nah. I fell asleep this one night, had the headphones in. I guess they heard what I was listening to. I got in trouble. I got the CD player taken. It was crazy.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, it was more from Jay-Z to T.I. to Kanye. Had a crazy Kanye phase, rap and College Dropout, all that. Yep. And then to Wayne to Lupe. Now, that's my whole makeup for those were the key components to my rap shit, honestly, musical shit. A whole lot of different artists, but they, I feel like they was all spitting in their own right.
Absolutely, yeah, no doubt about that. Yeah.
So is that your top five as well? Like, if you had to pick
Top five? I won't say that's my top five. Nah.
Just most
that's just my favorite at the time, yeah.
All right. Well, then I'll ask the question. Who are your top five? All time.
All time?
Sheesh. All time.
I'm not going to do no order because I feel like this can change. Of course, I'm going to put Jay in there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put Lupe in there. Got to respect this pen.
Okay.
Shit. Top five all time. Damn. Biggie up there. His flows was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I got two more. I'm gonna put Kendrick there because he a new GOAT for real. I gotta give respect to somebody. You feel me?
Fact.
And four. Shit. I'm gonna just say Outkast, period. I put both of them together. I'm not gonna say
five.
Yeah, shout out Outkast, bro. Yeah.
I feel like people don't remember them Outkast albums when Big Boi was spitting. Like, people need to go revisit them albums. Like, they both did their job. I understand Andre 3000 had the more eclectic style and we gravitated toward that. But as far as bars, they both give it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No doubt about that.
I just listened to a Slick Rick album from, like, I think it was like 92, 93 that had Outkast on it. And I hadn't heard like an Outkast feature in a minute, man. And that was so hard. And it was just good to hear that type of music again, man.
Outkast, crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy, man. Okay, and then we'll give you the big question here. What's been your favorite part of your entire career? You know, you said you've been at this ever since second grade, man. You know, it could be your diss track on Pap. That's the number one moment.
I wasn't dissing him. I was just dissing. So, but my number one moment, I don't know. I feel like I keep creating new moments. So I'm gonna go. My favorite moment, I guess, was when I performed. It was like a little performance. And this is before I was telling people I was really performing. And my father got mad that I didn't tell him. I'm just like, you know, I didn't think it was that deep, yada, yada, yada. And he ended up showing up to it. So that was my favorite moment, you know. I go by Coons because, you know, that's my last name. But, that's my father's name. And I want to put a legacy on my family, like, for real. So I do this because of him. Like, I want to make him proud at the end of the day, you know, happy. So, that's my favorite moment. Just him showing up. He didn't even care what I was rapping, but he was like, you did good. I was like, I guess, bro. You feel me?
Oh, that's real. That's real.
Love that. Yeah, love that. Thanks.
Well, hell yeah, bro. It's been great having you on today, man. We appreciate you coming on, giving us some of your time. You're a great character, man. Great artist. We're psyched to see what's coming up next for you. Do you have any projects that are in the works right now? Can we expect any more Coons coming soon?
So I want to say, first off, you know, it's KO season, you know, so expect just new content every month. You know, I got a project I'm working on called Elite. You know, I've been saying life ain't hard, all you got to do is try. So Elite,
hell yeah.
I'm going to drop it sometime this year. I haven't really solidified the date, but it might be third quarter. So, yeah, Leap.
Nope.
Leap. Get excited for Leap, man. We'll be ready. We'll be listening, man.
Looking forward to it.
Appreciate that.
Hey, appreciate you coming on today, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.